Tuesday night belonged to the English clubs in the Champions League. Liverpool won 3-1 at Benfica with former Porto man Luis Diaz assisting, scoring and starring for the Reds. Meanwhile, Kevin De Bruyne a brilliant saw off Atletico, but Man City's lead is narrow for the second leg in Spain's capital. We'll also preview the other two quarter-final first legs, Villarreal Bayern and Chelsea against Real Madrid. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and with me to reflect on tonight's two quarter-final first legs are commentators Richard Connolly and Dan O'Hagan. Richard, you were on Liverpool, a notable win for them ahead of facing Man City in the Premier League at the weekend too.
Yeah, they were absolutely terrific, Liverpool, particularly in the first half. Benfica fought back in the second, and you know Benfica will come away, I think, knowing that they can live with this elevated class of opposition. But they'll regret the concession of that third goal, which really has tipped the tie hugely in Liverpool's favour.
And more on that in a moment. Dan O'Hagan watching Manchester City just eke past Atletico in the end, Dan.
Yeah, game of tight margins, which did require a game changer. It got one from City's bench. Phil Foden on for mere seconds when he picked out a peach of a pass to play in Kevin De Bruyne to score the winning goal past Jan Oblak. A first leg won by a piece of Foden brilliance, but this tie, Rob, is for sure still in the balance big time.
And Dan, Richard and myself are also joined by the former Spurs captain, Jenna Scalacci. Jenna, not a bad way to return to the Champions League.
No, great night of Champions League football. Obviously, I was watching the Liverpool match and I thought Liverpool started the first half as you would expect, and they looked like they were in total control up until half time, and then they were greeted by a Benfica team that looked like they were possessed to get back in the game, and they gave everything to get back in the game. They created opportunities, but in the end the class of Liverpool outshone them.
It certainly did. Okay, confirmation of the first leg scores from Tuesday night in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Benfica 1, Liverpool 3, Manchester City 1, Atletico 0. So let's get into it. We begin in Portugal. Liverpool travelling to Lisbon to take on Benfica. Here's how it played out.
Robertson with the outswinging corner for Liverpool, and Konate's in there! And heads Liverpool in front in the quarterfinals. A free header, and he made no mistake. It's Ibrahim Konate, and it's Benfica 0, Liverpool 1. Alexander-Arnold with the diagonal, Luis Diaz in behind, heads it for Mane, brilliant goal! Luis Diaz saw Mane in the centre, nodded the diagonal pass right into his path, and Mane's task was the simplest of all. And Sadio Mane has made it Benfica 0, Liverpool 2. Rafa Silva crosses, it's come through to Darwin Nunez, who scores! And Benfica are back in this game and back in the tie. And Darwin Nunez scores against another of the European giants. It's Benfica 1, Liverpool 2. Keita comes through, he slides it through for Luis Diaz, who goes round the goalkeeper and scores! What a huge goal that is for Luis Diaz of Liverpool! Hurting Benfica once again, the Colombian. With 3 minutes to play, it's Benfica 1, Liverpool 3.
Richard on commentary there, and he and Jenna join myself, Rob Daly. Let's get into this then. In terms of the team selection for Liverpool, second in the English Premier League at the moment, the sort of notable calls really, Ibrahim Konate starting, Luis Diaz getting the nod in the front three with Salah and Mane, and of course Naby Keita was a notable one too, and the return of Trent Alexander-Arnold. And actually a lot of those players, Richard, played crucial roles in how things played out.
Which goes to underline the strength of squad that Jurgen Klopp has at his disposal. I mean, if you'd made an 11 tonight from Liverpool's bench, you would say they're still a side that would have been capable of making a serious challenge in this competition and in the English Premier League at home. But yeah, I mean, though the side was changed, it didn't feel weakened. Luis Diaz had a terrific game. Konate did make the error that led to Benfica's goal back, and that could have swung the momentum hugely against Jurgen Klopp's men, but scored the first goal of the night and was very good in the first half. And Keita played the through ball for the third goal for Luis Diaz. So, yeah, those players all making impacts.
We knew that Benfica had the capability to play in a compact fashion and frustrate. We saw it against Ajax in the round of 16, second leg. But in that first half, Jenna, Liverpool did carve them open relatively easily and, of course, got the goals.
Yeah, I think there may be a sense of unorganised and they weren't as disciplined as we saw them in the second half. And, you know, we've said it a few times now, they just weren't aggressive in anything they did. They weren't tracking runs, they weren't tracking players. It was all just too easy for Liverpool. And then we saw the opposite in the second half, and that's when things started to happen for them, when they started to create their own chances.
So what happened, do you think, in that Benfica dressing room? Is that a tactical switch, or is it a mentality switch for Benfica that saw them certainly rattle the Reds for much of that second half?
I think it was mentality, because not much changed. They were still sitting back, they were still waiting for the mistakes, but instead of, you know, sitting back without purpose, they were actually making Liverpool make the mistakes. They were forcing them to play, they were, you know, getting a hand on a shoulder, or just making contact, putting a bit of pressure on them, not giving them time to pick a pass, and that was forcing mistakes, and then they were using the counter to hurt them, and they did that twice, and they created two very good opportunities from that.
Yeah, were it not for Odysseus Vlachodimos in the first half, saving a couple of times from Salah in particular, really terrific chances. You know, the whole tie could have been over by half-time. That was how big the gulf was in the first half. But with Darwin Nunez in particular, he always gave the Liverpool defence a headache, particularly operating down the left-hand side. He got the goal after good work from Rafa Silva. And there was a spell after that where the crowd really were involved. The sellout at the Estadio de Luz, the flags were being waved, the scarves were being twirled round their heads. It's a huge chance for Everton, where they worked a brilliant opening, and Everton could have played it for Darwin Nunez to strike it at the goalkeeper for what would have been the 2-2, elected to go himself. Alisson made a big save. There was a penalty call after that where Van Dijk had a hand on Darwin Nunez, who went to ground. The referee was right there, called it as no foul. One of those where, had he given it, I don't think it would have been overturned because it wasn't clear or obvious enough. But the referee had made that call. But at that time, the momentum really was with Benfica. They had a shot at it at that point.
Yeah, they were. And you know, when they regained possession, they were also countering with aggression. You know, they were putting pressure on the defenders. We saw it with Silva and Alisson, where he forced him into a turn on his own penalty box. You know, in the first half, he would just let Alisson have that, but he put the pressure on. And you when you put the pressure on, there's always chance of a mistake, and that's what that worked for them.
The way you're talking about this, Jenna, is I imagine that there might be a bit of regret on the Benfica side of things that they weren't like this from the off.
I think so, because it worked for them in the second half. They were the better team for the majority of the second half, and you know, they just weren't clinical enough with those chances that they did have. And against teams like Liverpool, you've got to be clinical, because you're not going to get that many chances.
It's hard not to see it in a historical context and say, well, first quarter-final at this level for Benfica since 2016. Yeah. Liverpool fourth in the last 5 years. You know, Liverpool have been in this kind of situation time after time. Benfica as a club haven't reached the semi-finals of the Champions League full stop. They haven't reached the semi-finals since the old European Cup, since 1990. You know, that's where they were coming from. That's how big tonight was for them. And maybe it just contributed to a general standoffishness in that first half.
I guess it goes to pre-match when we were saying, you know, do they go for it or do they sit back? I guess there's always a risk against a world-class team like Liverpool that if you do go for it, the tie's out of your hands within 10-15 minutes. Yeah. And then you're out of it even for the second leg. So I totally understand why they would come out a bit cautious in the first half.
Don't go for it. You end up with regrets of a different kind. You know.
Well, 3-1 the scoreline. They are still in it. And Vlachodimos with that late save. He made a number of brilliant saves. A late save to deny Diogo Jota does keep them in the tie at 3-1. No away goals anymore. In terms of Liverpool, it is a fifth win in five on the road in the Champions League. They won all their away games, scored 15 goals now on the road as well in the Champions League. And in Ibrahima Konate, their 20th goal scorer this season, more than any other team in the Premier League. 20 different goal scorers that Liverpool have had this season. Let's get to the change on the hour mark when Liverpool were probably at their least comfortable. Off comes Thiago, Sadio Mane and Mo Salah. So what extent do we think, and this is to both of you, is this relevant to the context of the game, and these three aren't offering what I need, I've got to change it? And how much of it, particularly with Mane and Salah, is Sunday against Man City in the Premier League?
I'd say it was Sunday, probably. I think, right. You know, the fact that it was all at 60 minutes, we saw a similar in Man City, in the Man City game. I think it is, these decisions are kind of made before the match.
They didn't look too upset. Normally, no. Mo Salah does not look happy, does he, when he comes off of that
they
stage?
They were both involved in the World Cup playoffs as well during the last international break as well. The travelling and the intensity of those deciding matches against one another as it happens. With Thiago, he just received the yellow card. I wonder if he was added to a double change to make it a triple. But with Mana and Salah, my instincts are entirely...
Yeah, giving the ball away just before that yellow card. It's bold, though. A bold change to make, really, because at that point, Liverpool... I mean, it's a great lead on paper, isn't it? 2-1 in the Champions League tie. No away goals anymore, but a bold move to make, I suppose, in a sense, to
but take then you can make the
off.
Argument that Diogo Jota is Liverpool's form attacker, and he was left on the bench at the start. So
yeah,
to bring
it's very
him on,
fair.
I don't think that feels bold to bring a player of that quality on.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, the players coming on, they don't weaken the team at all, do they? If anything, it's fresh legs, fresh ideas, and it paid off.
Let's hear from the Benfica camp, their defender, Jan Vertonghen.
Very disappointed. After the first half, obviously Liverpool was dominant, creating more chances, going 2-0 up. But I think once we scored that early goal, what we wanted in the second half, and I think then the game was, I think we were more likely to score than them. You know, we were looking for the 2-2. To and going to Anfield, you know, why not, you know, and then we that's the game they like to play, you know, recover that ball in midfield and attacking the space in behind. That's how they score most of their goals, and that's what they do so well. And that's how Luis Diaz scored his goal, that's how Jota created that opportunity in the last minute. But we have to be smarter there.
You can hear it in Jan Vertonghen's voice, can't you, there? The lamenting of what happened in that first half. To Luis Diaz now, he is the UEFA player of the match. We saw him get handed his award as he made his way off the pitch. Left Porto in January, had faced Liverpool in the Champions League. And he is looking so, so important. Brilliant goal to seal it as well. Great assist for Sadio Mane for 2-0, Richard.
I mean, I think that was, in its way, more impressive, the way that he read the pitcher. It's a terrific diagonal ball, you can picture it. Trent Alexander-Arnold pings one diagonally. Luis Diaz coming in from the opposite side, the left, and he can see the goal in front of him. He would have been tempted, I think, to take it down and shoot or even head for goal first time, but reads the pitcher brilliantly. Mane is running up in the centre and is able to see that, cushion the header perfectly so that Mane runs in, doesn't break his stride, and just rolls the ball into an empty net. It was beautifully seen and beautifully executed.
He's pretty good, isn't he, Jenna?
His quality, I mean, every time he's on the ball, he's making something happen, you know, tonight an assist and a goal. Yeah, you just felt like every time he's got the ball, his first thought is forward and he makes things happen, you know, whether it be assists, deliveries and goals.
OK, more on this game shortly, but Liverpool have beaten Benfica by 3-1. Coming up, we're going to look back at the night's other quarter-final first leg tie.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moments in UEFA Champions League history. Vote now at UEFA.com/UCL feeling and you could win tickets for the final in May and some other amazing prizes.
OK, let's switch things to the northwest of England. Last year's defeated finalists, Manchester City, welcomed Atletico to town, and the key moment came with 20 minutes to go.
Forward here to involve Foden's dancing feet towards Kevin De Bruyne! Found the bottom corner and found the lead for Manchester City. Rolled in by Foden and from the left-hand angle of the penalty area, drilled across Oblak into the bottom corner, and the goal, the tie's first goal scored by Kevin De Bruyne for Manchester City.
Yeah, brilliant finish. Dan O'Hagan on the commentary. Let's speak to Dan now, so a 1-0 win for City. Dan, let's go to the first half then. No attempts on target. How did things play out in the first 45? I think as we expected, really.
Yeah, it was the game we thought. I think first half, City possession 70% of the ball. Six shots, none on target. Atletico Madrid in that 4-4-2 formation, happy to sit back, let City have the ball, to play their pretty patterns, to work the ball around them, but not make clear chances. Second half, it was about the game changes. Guardiola turned to his bench with an hour of the game gone, just over an hour gone, brings on Phil Foden, among others, and Foden, one of his first touches, that lovely assist to roll the ball in to Kevin De Bruyne on the angle in the penalty area, and the finish across the goalkeeper. Really well taken goal, but the assist from Foden was really game-changing. Super play.
In that second half, there did seem to be more moments where Atletico looked stretched and a bit fraught. Did City do anything in particular different after half-time, do you think, Dan? Because we saw those early chances, didn't we?
I think it was freshness second half. I think City had realised, you know, look, they're happy to let us have the ball. We can do a bit more here. And when they made those changes, obviously Jack Grealish came on, Gabriel Jesus, as well as Phil Foden. There was more options there. I thought before the substitution, set plays were maybe City's best chance. We saw a Laporte header go really close early in the second half of the potential 1-0. A Kevin De Bruyne free kick as well, had Oblak making a good save. But City, I think, 1-0, they look back on this and say, was 1-0 enough? Such as their control of the possession, the general play of the game. Will they go to Spain now in 8 days' time with only a one-goal lead, which maybe should have been and could have been much more?
OK, let's hear from the match winner and the UEFA player of the match too, Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, it's a very hard game, you know. I think they play so defensively tight and, you know, they're solid. It's their way of playing, and I think we played pretty good under the circumstances. We know it's going to be tough to create some opportunities, but I think first half was tight, but we didn't give anything away. I think second half we had a couple of chances, and it's very hard. They played almost five in the back and five in midfield, so yeah, it's very hard to find the spaces. I would recommend to everybody who says something to us on this game to try on a training pitch. But I think the way we played was good because we didn't give anything away. So you need to be calm, patient, try to find the spaces. You're going to lose balls because it's so compact. But like I said, we had a couple of chances in the second half and we managed to get one.
Yeah, needed an incredibly sharp bit of play to win the game in the end. Give it to Roto, by the way. How about all these big occasion goals? 2020 round of 16 against Real Madrid, 2020 quarterfinals Lyon, 2021 round of 16 is Gladbach, quarters against Dortmund, semis against Paris Saint-Germain, one of injured in the final, let's not forget, against Chelsea, and now he's got this goal against Atletico, his first in the Champions League this season, and the winning goal on the night. It needed, Dan, didn't it, that moment of pure craft to get through Atletico, but even by City standards, it was tremendous. And a good finish from Kevin De Bruyne. He's got a wonderful strike on him.
He really has, yeah, but they had to work for that. It was such a tight game, and we know Atletico, how they set up, how they are so defensively organised and motivated by Diego Simeone. It took a piece of real brilliance to open up the tie. And I said during the commentary during the game that it could be a game where the whole tie, that one goal's enough, because you can see the second leg being just as tight in Spain in 8 days' time.
I mean, ultimately, actually, let's get onto Atletico's chances, because they did have a couple of breakaways, which is obviously the tactics in it, where Marcus Llorente got away early in the second half. Did they have many other chances, which they squandered, they couldn't take? But did they fashion much else other than that?
Not really, and they too made attacking changes. They brought on players like Thomas Lemar and Angel Correa, Mateus Cunha, and they couldn't really change things. It was a strange performance because obviously they began the game with João Félix in great form, Antoine Griezmann, players who are really built to play on the counter-attack. We've seen that in the league so much for them in this competition as well. But today, for some reason, okay, give City top marks for their defensive organisation as well. It didn't work for Simeone's team today. It was a real off day for them. And I think the stats don't lie. That lack of clear chances, lack of shots on Ederson's goal, that tells a story that they just didn't get going as an attacking force tonight.
Yeah, and the stats back that up as well. Since game-by-game shot data was available for the Champions League, so we're talking 0-3-0-4 now, there have been only four times where a side has not faced a single shot on target. And Pep Guardiola has been in charge for three of those, so including tonight, Atletico not being able to find a way through. But ultimately, Dan, you know, away goals obviously don't matter anymore. Do you think they'll be too upset with this scoreline here, Atletico? I mean, you know, it was always going to be a possibility they'd lose tonight. They've kept it narrow.
Yeah, I think they will have come here and they will have thought, OK, first target is to win the game. If they can't do that, they're 0-0. And okay, losing 1-0 isn't the worst result. As you say, the away goals rule no longer matters, so that dynamic has changed completely. So they start, okay, minus one in that game in 8 days' time in Madrid, but that's not the worst position for them. The tie is far from over, and you know, you look at the squad they've got. Didn't get Luis Suarez on tonight, but he's involved, of course, next week. Mateus Cunha came on, Angel Correa, as well as the likes of Griezmann and Felix. There are players in that team who can score goals, and if they were to nick that second leg 1-0 as well next week, it might go the distance.
That's very true. Okay, let's hear from Pep Guardiola, who admits the substitutions changed the game.
The guys were playing well, but of course we knew it with Gabriel and Phil having a special energy, and Jack for the quality that keep the ball. And yeah, to me the manager was so clever. Listen, when all the managers, when we make a substitution, is because we believe it's going to a little bit better. Sometimes it doesn't work, and it works. It's good, and we wouldn't do it. It doesn't work, and after that, so... it's a mistake.
Pep Guardiola there. So ahead of Liverpool and Manchester City doing battle in the Premier League on Sunday, both teams have won their respective Champions League ties tonight. They've both been given a proper workout. Liverpool just about getting past Benfica with a 3-1 win in the end, having had that second half scare. And City grinding it out against Atletico. It has been a great start to the quarterfinals, and we'll do it all over again tomorrow night when the other two ties get underway. Match Day Live is back from 8 o'clock in the evening, CEST, and it should be a cracker, as Jonathan Beck reports.
Our commentary match on Wednesday comes from London. The defending champions meet the record winners.
Breaks here for Mason Mount, left edge of the penalty area, whips a good ball in, first time for Azpilicueta to apply the finishing touch. And Chelsea in front on the night and well on their way now to the quarterfinals.
Benzema! Incredible scenes! Karim Benzema has a hat-trick and Real Madrid are doing the unthinkable!
Chelsea against Real Madrid is one of the ties of the last eight. Carlo Ancelotti takes his Madrid side to Stamford Bridge after that epic comeback against Paris Saint-Germain in the last round. And he'll get a warm reception in West London after leading Chelsea to the English Premier League title back in 2010. The champions have good memories of the last time these two met.
Tees it up for 2-0 on the night. Mason Mount has surely sent Chelsea into the Champions League final.
Chelsea were too good for Real Madrid 11 months ago in the semi-finals. Thomas Tuchel can't wait for tomorrow's match.
Tough one. The challenge cannot be much higher than playing a second leg in Bernabeu with spectators. But it's a big challenge, and there's also big excitement around this match, around this fixture. So we know what's coming, and it will be an exciting match and then a tough challenge.
Kickoff is at 2100 CEST, and we have the whole game live right here on the show. Regular updates from Spain as well, where Villarreal are hoping to cause another big upset.
6 minutes to go. They've got no choice, Juve, but to take risks. Inevitably, it will lead to chances. Openings for Villarreal as it's flicked on, and it's been turned in for a second! It's Pau Torres from the corner, and that could be it, you know!
Having dispatched Juventus in the round of 16, things don't get any easier in the last eight.
Lewandowski's back heel, Sane round the back, drills it home! It's a marvellous goal, this time from Leroy Sane! And a seventh of the night for Bayern.
We've got a special interview with Robert Lewandowski before Bayern's trip to Spain tomorrow night. Match Day Live is on air at 8 o'clock CEST as the quarterfinals continue.
Jonathan Beck there. Okay, let's have a quick look at these two ties with former Spurs captain Jenna Scalaccio. Just do a little bit of team news for this one for Chelsea. They know that Ben Chilwell's out with that long-term knee injury. And Callum Hudson-Odoi, Achilles and back issues means he's unlikely to play, but expected to return to a back three after playing back four and getting thumped by Brentford 4-1 at home at the weekend. Real Madrid, no Edin Hazard, Jovic or Isco. Jenna, how damaging will that defeat for Chelsea be from the weekend going into this one, or do you think they'll be able to compartmentalise the two?
I think there would be shell-shock from that defeat. I don't think anyone saw that coming, and they'll be looking for a reaction and a quick reaction, you know. As a footballer, when you lose a match like that, you just want to get back on the pitch to put it right. So this game has come at perfect timing. I think, you know, Real Madrid are an informed team, and Chelsea were on a good run until the weekend. I think it would be a tightly fought match. Front two of Benzema and Vinicius could be a bit of a worry for a Chelsea team that has leaked four goals at the weekend. But Chelsea being at home, I'd like to think they'd take the advantage there going away on the second leg. So I'm going for a Chelsea win, but I think it will be very tight.
Well, Chelsea did beat Real Madrid in the semi-finals last season, and Real Madrid have suffered a big defeat themselves since the round of 16, losing 4-0 at home to Barcelona in the Clásico. The other round of quarter-final tie on Wednesday involves the Spanish side as well. Villarreal taking on Bayern. Dana Hagen, you cover the Bundesliga a lot. Bayern thumped Salzburg in the end in the round of 16. What sort of shape are they in at the moment in terms of the Bundesliga title race and going into this Champions League game?
Yeah, good form there. 9 points clear with six games left in the Bundesliga, so another title, 10 in succession, is on the cards. They won at the weekend away to Freiburg by 4-1. They're in good nick. The talk of this game is, will Alphonso Davies be back? He's been out since December with complications after COVID. The talk is he may be in the squad. He may even start the game tomorrow night for Julian Nagelsmann. So, yeah, Bayern go to Spain tomorrow night in really good nick, in really good form. And Villarreal, we know, they're only seventh in La Liga. I think Bayern tomorrow will not lose the game. Maybe a draw in that first leg in Spain tomorrow night.
Yes, we heard there in that montage, Villarreal seeing off Juve. And in probably the story of the round of 16 in the end, no Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting due to COVID, but he's had a knee issue anyway. Samuel Chukwueze, the forward for Villarreal, is a doubt going into this one. We'll see if he features. But all the coverage, of course, on Matchday Live, live commentary and coverage of the games. Let's turn things back to Tuesday night. If you are just joining us, here's a reminder of how things played out. Manchester City beating Atletico 1-0, and it finished Benfica 1, Liverpool 3. Luis Diaz scoring and assisting, a star performance, the player of the match. And here's his manager, Jurgen Klopp.
Top player, top-class player. In a atmosphere, obviously. So Luis played a derby. I don't think he saw it like this, but the supporters saw it like that. Still a former Porto player, but did really well. How he sets up our second goal from Sadio was world class, and the third goal obviously helped a lot. It was always a threat. He's a pure joy to work with. To be honest, we were really happy that we could sign him.
Has been purring about Luis Diaz since the day he walked onto the training ground as a Liverpool player, Jurgen Klopp. Jenna Scalacci, you were watching Liverpool's win against Benfica. Who was your player of the match?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be Diaz for me as well. I think he was quality throughout the whole 90 minutes. Every time he had the ball at his feet, he was making things happen. And, you know, a goal and assist as a player of the match.
And not bad at all.
You've been
booed and whistled by the Benfica fans, and he delivered. Let's hear from Liverpool's left-back then, Andy Robertson.
Yeah, I thought we were, really good first half. Created a lot of chances. Probably could have been a couple more up. And then second half, we wanted to do more of the same, but they came out probably a bit more aggressive, started to win more of the second balls and things like that in 50-50s, and obviously a mistake kind of leads to their goal, and the crowd get up, and the players react off that. Of course they do. So it was about kind of riding the storm. Hopefully, they had a couple of chances after that, and it was just about trying to stay in the lead. And then, luckily just at the end we managed to get a goal, which is important. A 2-goal lead to take to Anfield, but still work to do, especially with the potential they scored in the second half.
Yeah, commanding advantage for Liverpool when the two sides meet in 8 days' time at Anfield. Richard Connolly was our commentator. Richard, are you going to give it to player of the match to anyone else other than Luis Diaz?
It would be a controversial move if I did. What I will say is that the calm and the experience and the general, the mentality, the confidence that they resonate, I think Van Dijk and Fabinho are just huge in
yeah,
that
massive,
Liverpool
yeah.
side.
Yeah.
I mean, every time Van Dijk was in a troubling situation, he seemed to walk the line between good defending and foul so carefully. They were both excellent too.
OK, let's get Dana Hagen's player of the match as well from Manchester City against Atletico. It was given to De Bruyne, Dan.
Yeah, but I'd go with Phil Foden. I think in these games, in these tight margins in quarter-final ties, the last eight of the competition, the best players, the world-class players are the difference makers. And Foden off the bench to unlock that Atletico Madrid defence, that super pass for De Bruyne. For me, Foden was the difference maker in every sense.
Well, it's even bolder to give it to a sub, but I love it, Dan. Nice one. Thank you very much for your help this evening on Matchday Live. That is all we have time for on the show tonight. We'll be back on Wednesday, the 6th of April, from 8 p.m. CEST, for full live quarterfinal action. We have commentary of Chelsea against Real Madrid from Stamford Bridge, as well as live updates from Spain as Villarreal take on the German champions Bayern. And don't forget, you can download our Champions League podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Jenna, Richard, Dan and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.